will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO. Welcome to the Tough Things First podcast, your indispensable source for business, leadership, and life advice with the longest-serving CEO in Silicon Valley. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo, and he's Ray Zinn. Good morning, Ray.
Hi, Rob. How's it going down there?
Good, good. We're out here in Sacramento, and you're somewhere in a farm, a ranch somewhere.
Up in Montana. So,
yeah, it's great that we could be together. It's kind of, we have a subject coming up eventually in a future podcast where we talk about people working from home and having to do, and people doing a lot of Zoom calls and things like that. How some people aren't happy about it. That's a topic for another day. Today, let's talk about really, I think one of the number one subjects in the nation and virtually around the world, artificial intelligence. And obviously, it's the subject of news reports. I looked at a website yesterday. There must have been four or five, maybe six stories on just one news source that had separate stories about artificial intelligence. And some were alarming, some were good, some were bad. So it's like the use of AI, the misuse of AI, the ethics of AI, the potential for AI, the breakthroughs already done by AI, and the abilities for the potential abilities for AI to do harm. So Ray, is this a new boogeyman or a genuine serious subject, or is it both?
Well, let's debunk this whole artificial intelligence debacle, as you would. So AI, of course, stands for artificial intelligence. So anything that has a computer connected to it is artificial intelligence. And so then we could say, okay, when did that really start? That started back probably in the 1940s, which is back before even the Second World War. And so we've had devices connected to a computer or computer centric for decades. Okay. In fact, almost, and it won't be long, it'll be almost 100 years ago that we can say that we've been connected to a computer. And so that's the really the debacle is understanding or debunking, I should say, this whole artificial intelligence issue. So you can just imagine anything connected to a computer effectively is artificial intelligence. We have our, intelligent, we have smart cars, we have smart phones, we have, smart vacuum cleaners, and you name it. And we have something that's smart. We have the smart home, with all the different appliances that are now computer controlled and connected. So I think what we want to talk about is really what is the downside or the negative of artificial intelligence. So let's kind of start there, Rob. So in the articles that you read, what's the biggest concern?
Well, if I look back at my list here, I think the biggest concern is the paranoia about the harm that a technology that can kind of take on a quote unquote life of its own, that it could do a great deal of harm.
Sure. But what are they concerned about? That's the key we want to cover today is what are they concerned? For example, we have airplanes that what we call have class 2 and class 3 capability, which means they can land themselves. And so what's the harm? The harm is somebody jams the computer or some way can hack into it as the airplane is landing, that could kill, hundreds of people. The same thing with a car. I mean, on a smart car, if somebody modifies or changes the input to the car, it can cause it to crash. So it's true of anything, whether it be a farmer plowing his field and something goes wrong. So we have the issue of someone interfering with the intelligence and causing the program to then crash or go south, as you would. So that's that. There's that danger. Is that or if, for example, we just recently heard about some kind of a medical issue with a pilot over Washington D.C. And it crashed and killed I think 4 or 5 people because of the pilot or something maybe had a medical issue. That can be the same thing with drunk driving. I mean, with somebody that's drunk at the wheel or falls asleep at the wheel or somebody that wasn't paying attention and crashes in an intersection. So, we can't blame everything on artificial intelligence. So if we talk about, how can we deceive or how can we manipulate people using artificial intelligence, we're doing that now. We don't know what truth is coming out over the news media, CNN or Fox or what. I mean, they tell us what they want us to know, and then and then we have to make our minds up as to whether or not we want to accept it. So, there are lots of programs where there's magic done. Magic shows. You go to Las Vegas and watch a magic show. So we can be deceived in any number of ways through all various senses, our eyes, our smell, our hearing, our feel, our sense of touch. All of those things can deceive us. So what we have to do is become smarter than the intelligence, as you would, and not become so easily deceived.
I was muted there for a second. Sorry about that. I think that when we talk about the human aspect of it is how you can be deceived by if I'm looking at the screen and I see you on there, the idea that one time I get on the video with you and we're talking and we're doing a podcast and it's not really you, but I'm hearing your voice and I'm seeing your face and it's a deep fake of some sort and it's a simulation. It's not you. And then, because we're not in the same room, I'm not seeing you. I don't know that it's not you. I think one of the biggest concerns, I mean, obviously there's been attempts to deceive people and extort money from them by faking a kidnapping and using like the daughter's voice and over the phone and saying, I need help or send money. And then the person believes it and buys into it. We have a very strange era happening here. And then you mentioned the news reports being somewhat questionable anyway. But you have research papers created by ChatGPT that are published in research journals. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes those contain erroneous and made up information just to complete it and make it look like it's real. So I don't know how we get smarter than or be able to delineate what's real and what's fake fast enough to save ourselves from train wrecks.
Well, there's, it's called impersonation. So we always have this issue of somebody impersonating themselves. I've been on a phone call and the person wasn't intending to impersonate someone, but I got the voice came across as someone else. And he said, no, this is not, so-and-so, this is me, And so we have, you can impersonate singers and all kinds of people. There are a lot of lookalikes, in life. People have said that I look like, John McCain at one time. They said, I was stopped in the airport. Someone said, I thought I was John McCain. And so we have people who look alike and talk alike. And so that's been with us for a long time. So what we have to do is just become more alert and more aware of impersonations. And we'll get smarter at it. We'll get better at it. I mean, you know, the intelligence has to get smarter too, because we're going to catch on. We're going to find out. There'll be clues and ways to just to determine what's true and what's not. You know, I've had a situation where someone who impersonated my signature and wrote some checks on my account by you know, copying my signature. So, you know, there are handwriting experts, there are voice experts, there are all kinds of people that will just become better at just determining impersonators or information that is not true. If when you begin to deceive a complex web, you begin to weave. So, you know, you'll figure it out, and we'll just have to become better at determining what's not true.
Well, it's not all bad, because we certainly, like you said, the technology has helped out in many ways. If the if indeed it was a pilot medical emergency on that plane you were talking about over DC, and it had the technology that could land itself,
yes,
it could have taken those people home safely. And exactly. If you remember the golfer years ago, many years ago, back in the 90s, and his name escapes me, and I apologize for golf fans out there who know exactly who I'm talking about, but there was a golfer who died similarly when the private jet lost cabin pressure and everybody lost consciousness inside, and the plane just flew across the United States until it ran out of fuel and went down. Again, technology can been able to save the planet had that technology that exists now. And the same thing's working with cancer and medical and all of that stuff. Now, I do think it's going to be an emerging industry, really, to be able to identify what's real and what's fake as quickly as possible. And that's going to be an exciting field, I think. But thanks, Ray. I hadn't really thought about it and I think you may have mentioned it before to me, but it's really important to be able to distinguish between that AI is a computer, and it's anything hooked up to a computer.
That's what it is. That's we've had that since the early 40s, or maybe 30s even. So, computers have been with us for a long time. Back in the early 1980s, I was involved in all of the personal computers before, you know, these were computers that weren't personal. We didn't have them in our home. So, I was involved in the PC Junior and the Osborne, the Commodore, the Apple. I was involved in all those personal computers in the beginning. Compared to what we have today, these things were nothing. I mean, so we're getting smarter and smarter. The computer's doing more and more. I mean, we have smart watches. We can have smart medical devices that we can have hooked to ourselves that can give us alerts when we have, blood sugar issues, heart problems, you name it. And so I think, if you step back, that all in all, I think artificial intelligence is going to be a real asset to us. And of course, people will find ways to deceive us. But we've had that all, forever. And so we're just going to have to be smarter at discerning the truth. We got to be more skeptical and more aware of what truth is. You know, we call it, how testing your gut, how does your gut react? And so our guts, we're pretty good at knowing what's true and what's not. I mean, we just have to we'll get better at it. I mean, people will be deceiving, have been deceiving us for centuries. We're just going to have to learn to get smarter at it and better at it and discerning what's truth and what's not. And I think we will. So, there's always the downside to anything. There's always we talked the pros and cons. There's always the cons to any technology. So, we know that one of the concerns we had with the personal computer and the phone and the smartphone was losing touch with the with the human interaction. Before, you know, we used to handwrite our letters and our notes and emails and so forth. We didn't have them computer generated. Now I can just speak into a device and it'll produce my emails or my messages that I want to send out. We're just going to have to adapt and live with a smarter world. A lot more is going to be done through automation. And I think it's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to help us live longer. We're going to be able to detect cancer sooner. Also other medical issues will be detected quicker. And our health is our most important asset, is our health. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And are there downsides? Sure. But there's downsides to everything. Everything has a downside. You know, we have to trust the food producing companies producing food that isn't injurious to our health. We have to trust a doctor when he operates on us. So there's a lot of trust that has to go on, even in an ordinary life. So don't be afraid of artificial intelligence.
Well, Ray, thank you for explaining that at such detail. I think there is another area of AI that we can cover in a later podcast, and certainly we'll be able to circle back around to other issues of AI when it comes up, because there'll always be, this is a dynamic environment. There will always be something else to talk about. Well, as always, you can reach out to Raisin with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. Continue your education and the conversation with all the podcasts, blogs, and links to information about Ray's books, Tough Things First, and the Zen of Zen series 1, 2, and 3. Great conversation, Ray.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.